Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. Today, we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Matthew 6:13, crying out to God in the battle against sin. This message, which focuses upon our Lord's instruction that we should pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," has already discussed how we should cry out to the Lord in preparing for spiritual battle against sin. Now, Dr. Beakey will speak of how we should pray in the midst of battle and in overcoming the battle. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear and a heart to fight against sin.
But at the same time, you say that we pray, lead us not into temptation. In preparation for the battle, we pray when we're in the battle, but deliver us from the evil in which we now find ourselves in the midst of battle. Deliver us from evil, the evil of the devil, the evil of the world, the evil of my own flesh. Temptation will come. I will soon find myself in the midst of the battle. Lord, deliver me. Now what are we praying for? Well, I've got five things for you again, of what we're praying for in the thick of the battle. We're praying, first of all, implicitly, to persevere in using the spiritual disciplines to ward off evil. Spiritual disciplines. Prayer and Bible reading and meditation and fellowship among the saints. These are and faithful attendance at the house of God, drinking in the sermons, trying to live out the sermons by the grace of God. These are the spiritual disciplines that God gives to help us in the battle to ward off evil. John Owen once said that the best way to grow in holiness is not to grow in extraordinary experiences, but to grow in using the spiritual disciplines, so that every day you have an important time alone with God, reading the scriptures, meditating the scriptures, praying back to God, two-way communication, God speaking to you through his word, you speaking back to God. That time every day is very important, but also the effects of it throughout the day. See, if you stumble into serious sin, or even any sin, and the next day you are seriously doing, or that night you're seriously doing daily devotions, those sins come back, and you can't escape them, and you have to deal with them. So you say, deliver us from evil, by blessing my daily use of the spiritual disciplines so that I'm more alert to sin. And when it does come, when I'm in the thick of battle, I can say no to it by the strength of the Holy Spirit. Puritans call this developing holy habits to help you in your daily walk of life. And secondly, when we pray, deliver us from evil, we're praying for perseverance to say no to sin. Just blunt no to sin. You see, today there's what's called holiness teachings of the holiness movement. And that basically says, you mustn't strive. You mustn't strive every day to battle against sin because you can't do anything anyway. Just fix your eye on the cross or on Christ. Just abide in him. He'll do it all for you. You don't have to try. You don't have to mortify your sins. You don't have to walk away from them. You just look to Jesus. Well, you do look to Jesus. That's foundational. But it's also a struggle. Sanctification is not passive like justification is. Sanctification involves the whole man. Sanctification, yes, it means looking to the cross, but it also means praying and wrestling and agonizing. Like Thomas Watson said, sanctification takes tears and battle, and it's a sweating work all the way to heaven. And some people think, especially people like us who believe strongly in the doctrines of free and sovereign grace, that therefore you don't have to engage so strenuously in this battle because God will do everything anyway. Well, that's really hyper-Calvinism. The true Reformed faith, the biblical faith, says, yes, I trust that God will bring me to glory by his free and sovereign grace, but I want to honor him as much as I can in this life, and his Spirit who works in me, sanctifying graces, I want to co-labor with him and cooperate with him, and I want to fight the battle. I want to strive against sin. I want to say no to sin. Oh God, help me in this battle. Deliver us from evil. And then thirdly, when we're in the thick of battle, we're praying for God's help, especially against temptations in the mind. In the mind. It's one thing to control some outward actions and walk away from outward sin. I won't say that's easy, but it's easier, isn't it, than walking away from temptations that lodge themselves in your mind. James says every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And you see, that's usually a sign of backsliding in a believer when he doesn't fight against those temptations in his mind anymore. He just lets them be, and it threatens to swallow him up. It works against the work of God. And so we're praying, deliver us from evil. Lord, help us to be self-disciplined, even in my mind. When the thoughts of sin come in, to reject them and to say, no, 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 I can't go down that road. I want to serve God. Lord, help me to bring every thought into obedient captivity, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, help me to turn away from every evil thought in my mind that I've been tolerating wrongfully and to be pure in thy sight. And then fourthly, when we pray, deliver us from evil, we're praying for courage to tolerate no excuses for sin and to accept every chastening act of God or man. No excuses. You see, by nature, what we do, and even after we receive grace, we can do that, we can leave a little open window space for sin. We don't shut the window completely against sin. But when you pray, deliver us from evil, you pray for strength to shut the window completely, to have zero tolerance for sin and for lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And we're praying, Lord, deliver me from evil. Help me to come to terms with what sin is. Help me not to excuse any sin. And help me to take my Father's chastening hand and to bow under it, and to submit to it. Give me humility to bear the chastening without complaining, because I deserve far worse, and this chastening is meant for my good. Lord, when I'm in the midst of the battle, help me to not run away from thy gymnasium as thou dost buffet me and pummel me, but help me to bow under it and to recognize how good it is for me that I may become a partaker, as Hebrews 12 says, of thy righteousness and of thy holiness. And then, fifthly, as we're in the thick of battle, as we're walking through Vanity Fair and we're consumed on all sides, as Christian's pilgrim was, or Bunyan's pilgrim was, named Christian, we really are praying to be led on in holiness despite all the evil around us and the evil within us. Lord, make me more holy through the very battling against sin. Help me to bring every thought, every word, every action to thy feet, to obedience to thy Son, to be more conformed to his image. Cause me to serve thee. Cause me to notice the needs of others. Cause me to be unselfish, to be a committed worker for thee and thy kingdom, to be kind and patient and have the qualities of charity in 1 Corinthians 13. Help me to develop the fruits of the Spirit by the grace and strength of the Spirit. Oh God, lead me on. Make me more holy. Not only don't let me be satisfied by putting sin to death, but I need positive holiness. Help me to display and to be an open epistle of the fruit of the Spirit. Deliver us from evil by delivering us unto good. That's the prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit. We can't do it without the Spirit. That we may not be overcome in the spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes till at last we obtain a complete victory. That is only possible by the Holy Spirit. And how does the Holy Spirit work it? Well, that's the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And what does that mean? Well, 128 says, all these petitions we ask of thee, because thou, being our King and Almighty, art able and willing to give us all good, and all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but thy holy name may be glorified forever. That is the overcoming of the battle. That God's glory comes first in our lives. That's overcoming. And we are defeated. We are so weak. We are broken. That we cling to God. And He becomes the center, the glory, the all in all in our lives. It's by His kingdom. It's by His power. It's by His glory. It's all grace. His kingdom speaks of His authority. His power speaks of His ability. His glory speaks of His excellence. His kingdom is His sovereignty. His power is His omnipotence. His glory is His purpose. And so in all this sanctification battle, this is the goal. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. So that God may be God. And we may worship Him in spirit and truth. And that we would be willing soldiers who bow beneath His kingdom, bow beneath His power, bow beneath His glory. And then we say, Lord, it's all Thine. This world's not about puny little me. This world and my life is all about Thee. It's all about Thy kingdom, Thy power, Thy glory. All that Thou doest for me and all that Thou doest in me shall stand in the day of days only because Thine is the kingdom, Thine is the power, Thine is the glory. All that is of evil is mine. All that is of good is Thine. And so, Lord, I bow. Thou art the Almighty King. I trust in Thee, the one who art willing and able to give us all good, says our instructor. Lord, everything that is good, everything that is worthy of mention, it is all worthy of Thee. Thou art the one. Everything of Thee is worthy of our praise, worthy of our acknowledgement, worthy of our repetition, worthy of our confession, worthy of our worship. It all comes from Thee. It's all Thine. It's all Thy kingdom. It's all Thy power. It's all Thy glory. This is the goal. This is the goal of all theology. This is the goal of all 52 Lord's Days. This is the goal of our lives. It's not just barely to have the seed of regeneration and squeak by and get into heaven so we can say, well, I've been saved. No. The purpose of life is to be filled with the glory of God, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Not just to begin to be saved, but to be saved, and by the grace of God being saved, to become more God-centered and less self-centered. And dear parents, that's what I pray, God, that your children will see in you. That God-centeredness, that's what children need to see. Not just Well, we take our children to church twice on Sunday, and we put them in our precious Christian school, and we do family worship in form. But they need to see in the family worship. They need to see in the eagerness with which you go to the house of God. They need to see with the conscientiousness with which you put them in the Christian school. They need to see that it is thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory that motivates you. That your life, it's your heartbeat. Oh, dear friends, may I ask you this morning, are you consumed with the glory of God? Have you ever in your life, even once, fallen out of the picture and that the only thing left was, thine is the glory? Has there ever been a sacred place in your life where you've caught the vision of what life is all about, the glory of God, and you've caught that purpose, you've caught that goal, and you've forgotten yourself, and you stood in holy awe with the tears streaming down your face, desiring with every ounce within you to live holy and solely for the glory of God. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thee, for thy mercy and thy truth's sake, to thy glory be all things. And at such times, you just, if you could, you'd reach in and you'd rip out your own heart and you'd throw it away and you'd say, oh God, give me a new heart that's consumed only with passion for thy glory. This is what life is all about. And in those moments, self falls away. And God becomes all and in all. It's a foretaste of heaven. It's a little bit of what Paul experienced in the beginning of 2 Corinthians 12. Oh, how precious are those moments when it's no longer me and mine or my experiences even, but where it's all God and all God's grace and all God's glory. And we fall at his feet and we say, Lord, I'm totally unworthy, but thou art supremely worthy. This is the gospel, friends. This is what the gospel works in the hearts of sinners. My misery, his deliverance. But gratitude, what is it? It is being consumed with the glory of God. This is the purpose of the catechism. This is why these 52 Lord's Days are so valuable, a summary of what the Bible is saying. We don't have to be embarrassed to preach them. We don't have to think they're one step removed from the Bible. Every phrase is taken from the Bible. It's a summary of what the Bible teaches. Experiential misery, experiential deliverance, experiential gratitude. And it all ends here. For thine is the glory. So we overcome the battle when we can truly pray with all our heart, Lord, glorify thyself in me. And through me, and by me, and to me, and for me. Oh, when God gets the glory, when God is in the center, the battle is overcome, and Satan has to shrink away. To have God's glory in the foreground, to have God's glory in the center, to have God's glory in the background, to have God's glory fill our hearts. That's the great goal of experiential Christianity. That's the heartbeat of all true experience that grows in the depths of the soul. That's the great end of glory itself, that he would be all and in all, and I would be nothing at all. And the soul responds to that and says, amen. So it shall certainly be. God shall have all the glory. That's what amen means. It shall certainly be. For his is the power. His is the kingdom. His is the glory. And the amen is certain. It's not our amen. It's all grace, you see. It's the amen because Jesus Christ is the amen of God. He's all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus, says Paul. Yea, and amen. So amen, boys and girls, is not just the end of a prayer. Amen is confirming that in Jesus Christ, God shall have the kingdom and the power and the glory by the Father and by the Son and by the Holy Spirit. He shall have everything. And so, dear child of God, you're safe. You're safe in the triune God's hands. Because the Lord's amen is more sure than all your doubts and more sure than your most sure prayers. In fact, instructor says so profoundly and so beautifully that your prayer is more assuredly heard of God, for Christ's sake, of course, than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of him. His amen cannot fail because his Christ cannot fail and his Spirit cannot fail to work Christ in your soul. This is a fitting end to the Heidelberg Catechism. Ending at Lord's Day 52 with the weakness of myself, but the strength of God. This is true religion. When I am weak, then am I strong. When I am crucified to myself, then I can live to the glory of God. Then I may overcome in the battle by the strength of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for our precious children. This is covenant promise realized. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the glory. Thine is the power. Then you learn to say of your misery, I sign my own death sentence, I deserve to die. Then you learn to say of deliverance, I sign the life sentence that I agree completely that my only hope is in Jesus Christ. And then you sign also the gratitude sentence, if I may say it that way. I want to live. I want to live for so great salvation, for such a great sinner. I want to live only for thy glory. Amen. Gracious God, help us as poor, weak, needy sinners to find our all in a rich and glorious Savior and through him to be consumed with the glory, the kingdom, and the power of thee, the triune God. Oh, please grant us saving, intimate, vital union with thy Son by thy Spirit to the glory of thyself, O Father, and that so we may rest as trusting, battling soldiers, weary in the battle of sin, in thy triune being alone. Please help us in this battle. Prepare us for it. Strengthen us in it with thy strength. And help us to overcome by being consumed with thy glory and thy salvation, so that the devil would have to flee. Oh, prepare us for that day when this mortality shall put on immortality and this corruption incorruption, and we shall ever be with thyself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."